In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Back we go into the fringe on the topic of individuals who have captured numerous high-quality video footage of unidentified flying objects and more. What makes this next story stand out is that it's not unlike the experiences of Damien Knott in Australia or past guest Allison Cruz in Pennsylvania. To summarize, it's a situation in which one person continues to witness and capture unknown aircraft in vivid clarity repeatedly over a period of time. Early on, our guest had witnessed a very large flying craft in Salem, Massachusetts. The 1973 event shocked the community and was published in local newspapers. A county employee and various other witnesses described an object flying silently and very slow above homes and country clubs. This event marked the opening chapter for our guest in what was to be an ongoing experience in witnessing and recording some of the best UFO footage released into the public domain. However, you may not have heard about his work, and there's a reason for that. The backbiting, YouTube, Google censorship, artificial low video counts, interference, personal attacks, pervasive fake UFO videos cluttering the internet, false debunking, trolling, and the government monitoring have all contributed to marginalizing and drowning out authentic footage. Aside from this unfortunate reality, could there be a hidden gift in this intentional censorship? Our guest's YouTube handle is Who Took My Mojo. For this interview, he will go by the first name of Joe. Joe has not only videoed the craft flying and changing shape, but also landing. He has also caught movement inside the ship, a first of its kind. Joe, welcome to Another News.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's great to be invited on your program and get to share some of the amazing contact experience to you and your audience, and hope it will help in some way to others searching.
Well, in the last 5 or 6 years, you've captured some of the best UFO footage I've seen. However, your experiences actually started back in 1973 on the East Coast. Can you talk about that particular experience and its impact on your life?
Sure. That 1973 sighting that you mentioned, it did propel me into seeking and looking for more answers and to become an avid sky watcher over the many years, hoping to catch another strange object. That sighting in 73 was so close that there was no question about what it was in my mind. I hope you got to read the article I recently sent to you about it.
I sure did, yeah. I read the article. I was able to look on the map to see the community that this object had flown over and the bridge that one of the witnesses was on, and your location seemed to be over a country club, as you pointed out, and some homes and that body of water where the bridge crosses and the power lines. And as we were emailing back and forth, we also pointed out that area in Salem has all the elements of paranormal activity.
Definitely so. If you go back in time and think about the witch trials and other things that I witnessed, he was Mr. Capps of Beverly, and he witnessed the object closer to the bridge than I did, and wrote about it in an article called "They Came From Above." It was also in the local newspapers, the Beverly Times and the Salem Evening News. Both wrote a newspaper article, and I was surprised to find out that hundreds of people witnessed the UFO. When I spotted the object in the early evening of June 23rd, 1973, I was driving with my girlfriend back to Beverly, heading towards the Kernwood Bridge, which links Beverly and Salem. I had just pulled up to a T-intersection in which you could only turn left or right, and directly across from me was the Kernwood Cemetery, and the object was just above the treetops, about 35 feet away, and less than 100 feet above, just over the trees. It was moving super slow, slower than what a person could normally walk. So So I had a good chance to look at it. I got out of my vehicle. The object that you could actually see, it was the classic disc shape with illuminated lights. And the lights were between large square portals. And there was enough light in the interior that I could actually make out this form moving back and forth, the shadow of the form moving back and forth through the portals. So it was pretty amazing.
Did your girlfriend see it?
She did. She literally freaked out. I mean, she was almost out of control. When I got out of the car, I had the good look, and then she was yelling at me to get back in, and she wanted to go home right away. So I dropped her off, and it wasn't too far away from my home in Beverly. I went and got my dad, and we drove back, and I knew the Kernwood Country Club was an overlook, so I drove up there. By the time I got there, it was actually nothing to be seen. And it looked like my dad was wondering a little about me. But no sooner did the police drive in, and they pulled up to my car, and they asked me what we were doing, and I told the officer, I said, we just saw a UFO. And they looked at each other, and they said, yeah, we spotted it, too, from the other side of town. So that kind of made a believer out of my dad, and it was pretty amazing.
That is amazing. After that 1973 sighting, there was a lull in your life. I was curious, Joe, what was it like to have that level of confirmation for such a long time? And in that time, you're seeing UFO movements, documentaries coming out, responses from family and friends. Can you explain some of that for listeners?
Sure. Well, let's go back now. The 70s, there were still many skeptics out there. So I really only shared the encounter with close friends over the many years, but I still kept an eye out for sightings, and I was always interested. And it really wasn't, and I lived in Alaska for like 20 years before coming to Oregon, and I always looked at the night sky. So, but it wasn't until 2009 that all that effort at sky watching really paid off. For some reason, I decided to be dedicated to going out each night and spending a few hours under the night sky, and it was in that intense period of watching that first sighting showed up.
You moved to Oregon. About what year was that?
I moved to Oregon in 2001, like 8 years before I got to see anything.
Did you have a sense that there was UFO activity in the area?
There was some activity that I read about, but the only thing really Oregon offered was less cold, less extreme cold, and more clear nights of sky watching. So I just decided to start looking more again, and that's how it happened.
The sightings, as you pointed out, began to occur in 2009. Before we get into that, can you describe the terrain in Oregon where you began to have sightings?
Okay, sure. There's a clear area, but basically the terrain in the sky watching area is forested with some waterways and rocky open shoreline, and it provided a fairly decent patch of sky to start sky watching. So that's kind of what provoked me to look for that spot.
Shoreline to what type of body of water?
Like a creek.
I got you. Okay. You were seeing objects for a period of time in 2009, and you didn't have your camera with you.
Right.
Were there any highlights that you want to talk about that you didn't capture on camera?
Well, the first thing, in 2009, it was out of the blue. I was laying on my back, just looking up. It seemed like a solid confirmation happened, or an acknowledgement. It was a series of two extreme bright flashes in a row, like a flash bulb, that happened close above. They were so out of place that I just decided at that point that, you know, it was abnormal. And then I really became more diligent in skywatching and began to notice small displays or subtle moves of orbs moving into my locale. That's when I reached out to my neighbor and borrowed a Canon with night shot mode to try and capture what I was seeing. It wasn't a really good night shot, though, but it did provide some capture of the orbs. But the definition in the darkness didn't translate well, so it didn't provide that much perspective. I still have those mini DVD discs from 2009. But again, they were just like two little dim lights moving.
I see. You found a spot to film, and then you were capturing it on camera. In the beginning, what types of things were you capturing on film?
What I started capturing early on were those orbs with the borrowed camcorder. And then I got my first really nice UFO that looked totally out of place. And that was, I think, October 2010. And I posted that footage on my YouTube channel, and you can still see that one today. And I did further analysis. There were no blinking lights, and the lights actually changed colors. And you can actually see that in the video. So that was my really, really first nice capture. But before that, it was like orbs moving, and not a very good perspective to see that, though.
Listeners, if you're tuning in and in front of a computer, type in "Who Took My Mojo?" Just how it sounds, WHOTOOKMYMOJO is the YouTube handle. Look through some of those incredible videos. Joe, you're out there in dense wilderness alone at night, deep in the forest.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever question, what am I doing here?
Of course. My sanity being out there in the darkness. And as it was just starting out, I had no idea, were they good, were they bad? So it was the most frightening part, just being out there, and then the fog would come in, and I really didn't know the intent behind that, the sighting. But over time, and we heard of abduction scenarios, so that was in the back of my head, but I just thought the risk was worth it. You know, I'm older, I lived a good life, just weighed the consequences, you know, and I just decided to go for it. And there didn't appear to be any negative actions on their part. They were never menacing. So it just gave me more encouragement to be out there and keep doing what I was doing. But definitely in the beginning, a little bit of fear.
Would you walk listeners through what it's like to arrive at the area, set up the camera, and begin seeing the alien craft fly around? Could you describe these craft too?
Sure. Well, my skywatching usually started out just at sunset, and I hardly missed any days in the beginning. I really did. I was really committed to going out, rain or shine, cloudy. Even some of the footage I got, you can see the clouds. I had to pack all the gear up in my pack and hike to a place that offered the view. So usually never pack more than my Gen 3 night vision, a scope, and a flashlight, and my Sony Nightshot camcorder. On occasion, I did can't carry a tripod, but it was just more weight to pack and carry. So basically, that's how I went out. And you can see the result of those forays out still today.
Rarely a tripod, which I understand. If you don't have a decent lightweight tripod, they're often heavy to lug around. You would arrive at the location. Give us a description of some of the prominent aircraft, the craft that would show up. Would you see similar craft again and again?
These craft, there was over time, you know, in analysis, I discovered that there was some stealth technology happening because lights would appear in the video in different locations. So it was really hard to pinpoint. Even today, I did my best, you know, over looking at all the video to try to discern the shape of the craft. So very difficult, but a lot of times it looked like the triangle. You know what I mean? There was, in some of the videos, you could see the forward lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then and some of the times you could see a flashing center light, and then you could see the back lights. And even third phase of the moon, they asked me for my footage because there were kids in the flight path that happened to see it, and they got contacted, and third phase contacted me, and I declined for them to use the footage. But they did a CGI animation of that video, and the kids claimed they saw that closer, and that it looked like glass, like a glass triangle. So really hard to discern what the shape was.
Interesting. Yeah. Third phase of moon, a very popular channel that compiles UFO footage. However, I do lump them in to the interference category because of intentionally letting in CGI and fake UFO videos that are clearly fake. Even the most non-experienced person could see through it. There's no excuse, in my opinion.
Absolutely. it was all about motive and intent on their part. So they reached out. They said, can we use your footage? And I said, no. But that's still, they still went ahead and did the CGI. So, yeah, that's the reason why I declined.
Yeah, they're bad news, and I don't trust them, and they're millions of views. It's artificial in my opinion. It's artificial, along with a lot of other channels that are like that. Would you give listeners an idea of the relationship you had developed with these beings that would allow you to film their ships?
That's a good question. There were small clues to help in understanding. First, when the near-ground encounters started happening, I felt the fear, and then they appeared to back off. And it seemed like the only time there was an increase of progress in their movements or displays, it was because I was ready for it. So that encouraged me. They seemed to be very in tune with the environment, and I think that's why a lot of times they came into the sighting, like, you know, stealthy. But they seemed to be very in tune, and it was just on my part that I didn't really comprehend everything. But they seemed to be taking me closer to a deeper contact over time. You know, I'm just saddened that I still haven't got closure, but yeah.
You filmed something landing on the ground in one of your videos. Although it's not as clear as many would like it to be, you caught movement in this craft. Please describe that video and how it was a turning point in your work.
All right. At first, I was posting the raw footage on YouTube, and I didn't have the skill level or editing software to really analyze anything. And my friends are telling me they were spotting things in the video. It wasn't until many years later that I started doing the analysis on the older videos. And that is when I was able to slow down the footage to see what was happening and just started making the discoveries. And that's about the video you mentioned. When I slowed it down, you could actually see the entities moving. So, and they seem to phase in and phase out. And that footage, you can actually see them. They come from the left to the right, and they phase in and then disappear just like that. And so it just was amazing. I observed them with my eyes, but I wasn't able to film it with that same kind of speed. So faster than human speed in a lot of the cases. That slowing down the video definitely allowed me to see that taking place.
So whatever was moving inside this ship was moving at an incredible speed.
Yes.
And then if you're moving at that speed, so what do you think's going on? Is this a dimensional issue?
I think so, Jeff. One time I saw the craft, it just materialized out of nowhere, and on the deck, like 4 to 6 entities showed up, little grays, and they showed up. They were in some kind of clothing, dark clothing, but they were moving all in unison, and they moved from where they showed up to another part of the craft really fast, all together. And then they seemed to be doing something, and they're just as quick. They moved right back where they started, and it disappeared that quickly.
Give us an idea of the terrain in this particular video of the landed ship.
All right. Well, again, it's across the creek, and there are some evergreen trees in the area, but it's basically open, rocky terrain. So they were maybe, I'd say, less than a football field away. And I saw the lights, but I didn't really know what was going on, so I just put my camcorder on the backpack to stabilize it. That's why that video, you don't see too much movement, hand movement. And when I got home, I let it play out for a little while, and then I got home and started looking at it, and I noticed things. But it was, like, again, it wasn't until years later where I started doing those analysis that I really got to see what was happening in that quick speed, their movements.
What did you see happening when you slowed down the footage and were able to do an analysis of the interaction of the beings inside the ship?
In the one video you're talking about, extreme movement, you could actually see, like I said, there was like a white area. There's other colors around it, but there's a white area, and you can see the entity move into the white area, kind of like a pinkish hue, translucent. And then it looks like he's looking out, and then all of a sudden he just disappears that quick. This other smaller movements, like amorphous shapes moving, but you can definitely pick that out. At least I hope you can. So that's pretty much what I got to see in that one case.
I think Alison Krauss was interpreting something where she saw what seemed to be a mantis-shaped being pat the head of a gray.
No, it was the tall gray. She actually discovered it. I didn't even know it was in the footage. So she actually saw the tall gray standing on one side, and it looked like he, again, really super fast, moved over and pat the head, or kind of hugged the top of the head of a smaller gray. And she told me that, and I was amazed because I could actually see it too.
This footage is first of its kind. I just think it's incredible how it's so marginalized, Joe. And we'll get into that in a minute. This is occurring in deep in the Oregon forest at night. Joe, were you monitored by the government or some human agency in any way that you could detect?
That's a great question. There was a time in the summer over the sighting locale. It's all wilderness over the other side. And there was a time where it was like daytime, and I heard jets from my home. So I got out, and I saw military jets over where, in the direction of where I go sky watching. And it's seldom, there's not even a military base nearby. But I pulled out my camcorder. They were in the area for about 5 to 10 minutes, and I caught one of them dropping flares in the area. So it looked like they were zigzagging the area where my Skywatch location was. Why were they doing that? Why would they drop flares over wilderness? It just didn't seem to make sense.
Especially in the area that you've had all these
exactly
high-quality sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Military jets, that's like the classic indicator. A lot of the interference that occurs on this coast, you're probably familiar with in other areas, are the helicopters, ubiquitous helicopters, mm-hmm. coming in. Did you get any of that?
I've seen helicopters, but there were fires, so I really can't say that there were helicopters that we're used to hearing about. But no, I can't really connect helicopters to my sighting, or at least to be sure, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Well, it's pretty powerful to capture the footage of unknown flying objects. Then when you get into the next stage of filming beings that are in the objects, that's when you raise the level of interference usually. And I've heard that when contactees are recording evidence of beings, they need to be careful of government interference. Have you had any interference related to capturing some of these beings?
Yes. Yes, I have. It came out of the blue from former acquaintances, actually, on YouTube that also filmed in Skywatch. I was part of a group on Facebook, and they decided to suggest that I was hoaxing videos and created a small GIF image of that, one of my close encounters, and it was a fire service vehicle with special lights. They kind of ganged up and tried to, I believe, hurt my integrity. But in the end, it turned out to be a very positive thing, because at that point, I decided to go back through the old footage and enhance all the subtle clues being shown that I had overlooked in the original uploads. In fact, I would say the last 15 or so videos are analysis of past footage, where I get to more in-depth to find those clues. So in the end, they really did help me to be more diligent and go back to prove that I wasn't hoaxed. And I never really tried to get any fame or monetary YouTube ad money. So it was basically just try to keep the scientific method in my approach. Yeah, so I did have, you know, the attacks come.
Not only on Facebook, but YouTube as well. Was the Facebook group helpful to you at all?
Well, in the beginning, the one person was
you know, we were in contact for a long time, and he thought my footage was really good. Then I started, like, debunking other things, and maybe the people in that group were part of that, because it was all of a sudden it just came out of the blue. He posted that GIF saying it's a service vehicle. It just kind of happened out of the blue. I didn't expect it. But fortunately, there's another guy. He's called the Out There Channel, and he does analysis, and he confirmed that was an actual alien ray that I videotaped in my footage, or at least he believed it too. So it was kind of nice.
When you were doing analysis on your videos, were you doing analysis on other videos, not only the landed craft?
Yes. Yes. There was one called Close Encounter, and you can see that one. And doing analysis on quite a few of the craft, I got to point out some of the what I believe is a stealth technology, like a polygon silver surface that had light and dark holes that were in front of what I think the craft is of a biologic nature, almost like a transparent skin with a vascular-like plant system. Very intriguing. Yeah.
You were able to get an impression visually by doing analysis of your videos, of the images in the video, that it appeared to be plant-like or have a vascular texture as a plant would?
Yes, exactly. Like a transparent skin, a vascular system, like dark bands. And I actually show that in some of the video. You can actually watch the video and see these dark, and I even call them dark movement in some of the video. So that, I don't know how anybody could fake that, but you can definitely see there's some kind of dark. Is it dark matter? I don't know, but it was defined and it could move and cover over part of the craft. Perhaps it's part of like the veins in our body, you know what I mean? The vascular system in our body.
Right. Okay. In our body, but there's a pump system. Plants, not necessarily. There's a lot of questions, of course, with an analysis like that,
yeah.
You know. The flying craft that you've captured, when you were saying the lights appear in different locations, you actually meant different locations on the vehicle itself that's flying?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I was thinking about that, and yes, all of a sudden part of this craft that you're filming, and usually it has a pinkish red glow to it, and these lights would appear and disappear, and it's consistent with footage from Pine Bush, New York. It's consistent with Abel Siemens in Italy, his stuff, and then Allison Cruz, and I'm sure there are many more examples that you can name off, but do you think these are the same entities or vehicles that are same technology that's being used around the planet?
Gee, that's a good question, Jeff. There are similarities, like what Allison filmed in Pennsylvania and what you mentioned, Abel Seaman in Italy. And it would make sense that maybe distance doesn't matter in a craft that's multidimensional. You know what I mean? Maybe they can just be there just like they were here. I don't know, but it's definitely a question I can't answer yet. Guess.
Right, we're definitely guessing, but at least at this point there's an educated guess based on authentic footage that is shared among authentic individuals who are honestly and sincerely capturing real stuff.
Yeah. I the motive of Allison, she was just into being a good scientist and filming and trying to describe it, and Abel Seaman as well. You don't do this for a lot of years without the passion and not ask for, you know, anything else, just to be a good eyewitness at what's happening. So I think so, but again, questions I really never got to be able to answer even today.
Now let's jump back into interference, because your story is full of events of interference. And I wanted to ask you about Gary Nolan and what happened with your connection to him.
All right. Well, Gary Nolan, he's a geneticist out of a prominent university in California. And he also happened to have an interest in ufology. And he was watching YouTube videos, and when he came across my channel, and he reached out in an email to me, and he offered to purchase a Generation 3 night vision scope. They cost like $3,000 to $4,000. I was extremely happy. We kept in touch, and I eventually offered him the opportunity to come to Oregon a couple of times to observe. And we did end up seeing something strange, and I posted that footage on YouTube. I call it a night out with the doc. He asked me if there's anyone I knew that would have trace evidence to ETs. So I mentioned Dr. Greer, because Dr. Greer just announced that he could possibly have the remains of that small humanoid called the Atacama humanoid. He contacted Dr. Greer and ended up being in Greer's first movie, Sirius. Dr. Nolan is also friends with Jacques Vallée, whom also contacted me in some emails. But I decided not to have a bunch of researchers to sit on the sighting locale. Again, I thought I was getting stuff that I didn't see anybody else catching, so I thought it was important to keep the privacy and just keep documenting. So Dr. Nolan, he provided me airfare to come to that Sirius premiere event in California and to go with Allison, but I declined the offer.
I remember Allison going to that. Why did you decline?
It would just seem to be too much public, too much attention on me. Any of these guys, any of these big guys and big names, they could easily contact me and I would gladly discuss anything, but I just didn't really want to be in the public limelight. So I declined.
If you don't mind me asking, why don't you want to be in the public eye with this?
I really thought it was about maintaining the privacy of the locale. Again, there wasn't any other footage that I saw that had the craft in the sky pretty detailed up there, and also the close encounters. So, and it was ongoing. That was the other thing. So they were coming back. And I really wanted to find answers, so I thought it was important to just keep, maintain my privacy and just document and present the evidence. And that was what I did.
Did you get a sense that there was something else going on in that area besides a good sky-watching place, maybe a secret underground base?
Wow, I can't believe you said that. Yes. Where I worked, there were people that I met that said there was an underground base. And they were out on the Forest Service roads, and they were like the camo dudes that we think about in Area 51 that told them they couldn't move on. They had to go back. So, and that's not too far. I would say maybe within 30 miles of where I live in the wilderness area. I always felt there was something else. Maybe that's why the ETs were coming over here on an ongoing basis, and I have to get their attention somehow, and they allowed me to document. But I definitely felt there was something else happening in this area.
Joe, you've worked in forestry, and you've nurtured a connection to wildlife. How does this play into the experiences you've had with these beings?
Let me see if I can. Okay, so I did have some encounters with, like, megafauna in Alaska, and I got to be up close to grizzly, like a sow grizzly, about 6 to 8 feet away. Another time kayaking on the Yukon, where a big grizzly poked his head out of the willows while I was going by. And there are many other encounters with wildlife. I think people have, like, these ESP abilities, and maybe there's some empathic ability that we all have that I was kind of keying in on that helped me in my experience, even dealing with people seemed to work. And with the unknown, it helped me as well, at least to feel more comfortable and have the bravery to do it.
It's a numbers game. Damien Knott in Australia had pointed that out. There's another guy in Las Vegas who had pointed that out in an interview where if you consistently go out every day, you have the time and energy and the equipment and money to support it at that level, you're eventually going to get something. And do you think it's more than that?
I thought about this a lot because I did have that sighting in 73. My mother, I never mentioned, but my mother did see a UFO before I saw the one in 73. You know, I wonder about that, but I believe people can see, but I don't really condone people going out to do it because I think there could be, nefarious type ETs out there. So I don't condone other people doing it, but those that are going to choose to do it, I do believe if you become diligent and doing your sky watching and watching that you will be rewarded. So take that for what it is, I guess.
You've mentioned that there's a spiritual component operating when interacting with the occupants of the ship you're capturing on video. Can you talk about that dimension?
Let's relate it. Spiritual is not religious because, again, I was attacked because I said I was a Christian. But spiritual is a vertical thing with people. And like ESP or empathic skills, there were emotions that were coming through loud and clear to me when having these encounters. And at times they're almost overwhelming. Never once was there a negative thought or action on their part, but at times they seem to do things and reacting to my own emotional being. So, yeah.
Were you compelled to go out on certain days?
Boy, that's a tough one, Jeff, because I was really dedicated. So it wouldn't have taken much to compel me. So I really can't answer that, you know what I mean, to be fair. But I was just dedicated, and there wasn't anything that was going to stop me, rain or shine. I was going to go out.
What are your thoughts now, based on the information that you have firsthand of what's really happening in this subject? What are your thoughts on the potential disclosure and the handling of this information now in the public domain?
Boy, I don't know, Jeff. There seems to be a lot of reasons to hide the information, whether it be the government or entities, private entities. They don't just seem to be willing to come out, do they? It seems like there's still a big effort to hide. So I did come up with some, through the analysis, some answers to things. Like I told you earlier, I thought the craft was transparent, and it had some type of stealth technology. It appeared almost biological. They seemed to use light and geometry as a way to communicate. One of my videos, you can see light communication, it's called. You can actually see orbs moving in geometric patterns, extremely fast, different colors, different sizes. So, and the beings, I told you, they move faster. So all this was done through analysis, and I'm hoping that one day others will validate what's in my footage. I'm hoping that someone else is diligent and passionate as I was that will go out there and capture some of these things too, because I just don't see other video out there that has that. And there seems to be more than one type of entity, so they seem to be working as a collaborative group. They seem to be observing. They don't want to give all their answers up. I've seen things with my eye, like the tall mantis that I told you about earlier. And when I went to grab my camcorder out of my backpack, I had just crossed the creek back over, and I saw the lights further off, and they came closer to the other side and then lit up to where I could see that at least 6 foot tall mantis behind the panel. And as soon as I grabbed the camcorder, lights out. So there were times they did that, and it seemed like they were allowing some things to be videoed, but not everything. And perhaps they were protecting me, because I totally believe if I did get that million-dollar footage, that I'd have people knocking on my door, government, people knocking on my door. So maybe it was an effort to protect the contactees, by only allowing so much to be filmed at this time. Hope that helps.
Oh, it does. It's pretty profound to consider that they would be concerned about your welfare. It's profound in the sense that what they know about this human reality and an individual such as yourself gathering footage like this, and they would know that you're putting yourself at risk.
I think so, Jeff. I really do, because what other reason? Why would they lead me down a path and then show me things without the camera in my hand, like that mantis and like the craft appearing with the entities on the deck, and then not let me film the other things? You know what I mean? So I thought about that long and hard, and I just don't think the world is ready for what they want to show us.
What do you think they would reveal?
That we're not alone out there. That there's more to life than what we see with our eyes. There's other dimensions. That there could be, I don't know, I would just be guessing for anything else.
Same here. I remember hearing, it was from some documentary where a contactee was saying that some of these beings realize that we have been kept from, we as in the human race, have been kept from our own real power. And
that kind of makes sense, don't it, Jeff, when maybe they made contact with our leaders, and our leaders, for whatever reason, determined that information has to be kept from the people, the citizens of the world.
I know, and I'm thinking about it now, and the perspective of some of these entities who maybe have a, they can be in more than one dimension, and they can see the human condition, and they see the problems with the various societies and cultures, and the way maybe some of the populations are trapped in toxic situations to be controlled, and they may have some empathy, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense, and they're only revealing to people that are really searching. That does make sense. If you put it that way. And I think about, like, some of the sightings were, they're really good sightings. I have, like, 60,000 views on one video. And it shows the craft moving and blinking, acting like, you know, it's just an airplane. I'm just an airplane. Pay no attention. But then as I keep my camera on it, I go from night vision to Sony high 8 mode, and it stops flashing. It stops flashing. And then it keeps going. And, so it just seems like they are, you know, showing, but still have to be careful. You know what I mean? They seem to be very in tune with the environmental situation that they're in.
Allison's footage was revealing similar mimicry. They were mimicking helicopters.
Mm-hmm. And airplanes, too, I think.
Yeah, domestic airplanes and our passenger jets. And one of her friends said that he saw one of them mimicking a street lamp. I don't know what the context of that is, but, and you have examples of that. Some of the past YouTube UFO videographers that we mentioned have experienced the same thing. So they're careful. They can move about within our society visually and not necessarily be completely vanished, but they can move into a shape that will mimic domestic aircraft. And then getting back to your description of the walls of the craft, it makes sense. There's this malleability of it.
Yes, and not only that, they seem to have probes, because there was a time where I saw this little type probe above me, stuck it in and out of the clouds. I was looking up, and then it was a cloud, and they came out of the cloud right on the edge, and they'd go back in. And I actually filmed what I thought were probes near the ground. That's on my footage on my channel. And so, yeah, they tried not to draw attention, but they would definitely, if you put the camera on them, and over time, like I have one that's called Consuming Light Energy, and you can actually see entities blocking off these pulsing lights. So they would do things, but if you really weren't concentrated on that, you would just not even consider it. And so, so you really had to be looking.
Well, Joe, what would closure look like to you with this rare experience?
That's a great question. I think closure to me would, in my mind, would be direct contact. Like I mentioned earlier, they were seemed to be leading me to a closer experience. But then things seemed to have slowed down. Last year, I only filmed one triangle, you know, coming over. But I still hold out hope that I will get to have that closer contact. So this season, I've already gone out sky watching a few times, and I haven't seen anything. But I'm still going to be committed to going out and trying to document what I see. So I do hold out the hope that I'll get those answers, Jeff. But so far, I'm not satisfied. I'm still searching for those answers.
Joe, in addition to all of these experiences, you heard noises on your rooftop. Could you please describe that scenario for listeners?
Sure. There was about a two-week period that I heard fast-moving footsteps on the roof of my home. My bedroom loft is just feet from the ceiling, and the roof is made of a rubber membrane. And while I was asleep, it sounded like someone was running extremely fast back and forth on the roof. At first, I chalked it up as maybe a raccoon or a cat, but the sound continued over a couple of weeks, and the next time I was woken, I got out of the bed with a flashlight, went outside to see what it was, and there was nothing to be seen. And again, it happened on and off for about two-week period.
Could you tell if it was bipedal?
Yes, it ran like, you know, like bipedal, like little footfalls, really fast. Again, like almost that fast, up and down about 30 feet of roof.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent with your description of how fast they move.
Yeah, again, it was that speed. You know what I mean? Everything I witnessed and in the video, you could slow it down and you could see things that, you know, were just so fast. And the footsteps are, again, confirmation of that speed. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And it's important to share that the intelligence behind the sighting showed me things that it seemed like they didn't want filmed. For example, that tall mantis-like being that looked like a control. He was behind a control panel. And as soon as I grabbed my camcorder, the lights went out.
I think you mentioned also, did you see a craft or some kind of silver disc?
Oh, yes, yes. In the morning when I woke up, there was a nice blue sky out, and I looked out my window, and stationary in the sky was a beautiful silver disc. It was about the size of your thumb, you know, at arm's distance in the sky, maybe a little bit wider. But I couldn't believe it. I just looked at it, making sure I was seeing this, and all of a sudden it just zipped off. So pretty amazing.
Did you get the sense that this was a little more than a contact? Did you get the sense that maybe you were taken?
That's another good question. I didn't think of this very in the beginning. Like, why were they coming? Why was I hearing footsteps? And then just recently I was thinking, if they're multidimensional, they could probably examine me right where I was living. They didn't have to take me. Hindsight's 20/20, and over that time period, I was wondering, why would they do that? It wouldn't be a joke. So I started thinking, maybe they were examining me, and I definitely seemed to make more sense in the reason why.
Did you think about maybe why they were examining you?
No, maybe again it goes back to they're observing us and trying, you know, maybe just to study us. And I was just a good specimen. So, yeah, I never had hypnosis. I always thought about maybe having hypnosis, like maybe some memories are repressed. But, you know, I never did nothing solid, just a hypothesis that would be the reason.
Very few people have this level of contact and are public with it. And I mean this level of contact, meaning you actually have images and visuals to share with the public of some of these beings. And as you pointed out, it's not very easy because they will allow you to film what they want you to see, as your story demonstrates, but you did eventually capture some of this and documented some of this on video. Can you describe one of your recent video analysis?
Yeah, sure. That one video, and I do encourage people to go to my channel and look at the video to see what they see.
That we should just mention it's Who Took My Mojo, all one word, in YouTube.
Yep. So if you watch the video, watch that one called Extreme Movement. It's just really crazy. And I missed a really good piece of evidence. So my latest video is called UFO Attributes and Evidence to Entity Becoming Solid. And to me, it just shows really good proof of that being, that translucent being, dip into the picture. And then I slowed it down. I stopped the video, and a couple of the frames, you can see a solid chin in front of a dark horizontal member. So you could actually see the chin. It looks like he's looking right at us, and he's got a very narrow chin, and it's actually solid in front of that dark structure. So to me, that shows definite proof of multidimensional and phasing in. Become solid.
Can you give an overall description of this particular being and then the mantis being?
All right. There's another video I did an analysis of that extreme movement. And you can see in the frame, the entity has a glowing head and a looks like a long neck. And he's moving really fast from right to left. I slow the video down so you can see it a little better. And I take individual frames of that video to show you. So it has actually a glowing head. In other videos in that same video, Extreme Movement, there seems to be like an entity that pops up. It's like he's low in the frame, low in the picture, and then he sort of moves up into the picture and his head glows. And I know there are those in the same video. So yeah. And the mantis, he showed no emotion. He was probably, like I said before, 75 feet inside his craft. I noticed lights earlier before I left were about a football field away. They were moving. So I kind of, you know, I looked at them, but I didn't pay too much attention. And I was heading home. I crossed over the creek, and I took a look back, and I flashed my flashlight for some reason. And then the lights came on. And there in the craft was this 6 foot, 7 foot tall being. I could only tell from the waist up. And he had no emotion. The triangle head, big bug eyes, and looking right at me. I was kind of shocked. So I was like, hold on, let me grab my backpack. I took it off and started grabbing my camcorder. And as soon as I aimed it, there goes the lights out. So, but again, no emotion, just looking right at me.
Did you get a sense that they were tapping into your awareness?
I do. I don't know if it's mental or I voiced it, because there were times where I would say things and they reacted. And so it seemed like they were definitely in tune, but on my end, I didn't have good radar.
By chance, did you ask them if you could film them?
I asked them for better understanding. I did that continually all through the period. I was thinking it was going somewhere. So I would go out there and I'd say, please help me to understand, you know, please show me. You know what I mean? It wasn't specific, but it was always in an effort to find some resolution to why this was happening.
Joe, whose channel is Who Took My Mojo? You can find that on YouTube. Thank you so much for sharing this information on the air with listeners, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and I hope it helps someone out there that's doing skywatching or involved. And I would highly recommend, if they're doing that, to document, and then when you have closure, to post. Otherwise, you might open yourself up to people that are nefarious trying to come into your area or trying to upset what you have going on. So document, and then when you're ready, post. If I had hindsight 2020, I would have done it that way. But I posted as I went along, and that's about it.
Oh, Joe, thank you so much for being on In Other News.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
If listeners want to reach our guest, Joe, you can reach me at inothernewsradio@yahoo.com, and I'll forward your email to him. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guest.
You were born, and so you're free. So happy birthday.